content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to our November 2025 edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? A program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in this program. This program is all about books available from the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library also has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. If you are not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information at the end of this program. This month, we will look at some of the most popular books checked out in the month of October at the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. We begin the program this month with a look at a book called Don't Let Him In, and it's by Lisa Jewell. It was actually published just a few months ago in July of 2025, and this is from a review by Emma's Biblio Reviews. He's the perfect man. He says he loves you. You think he might even be made for you. Before long, he's moved into your house and into your heart. And then he leaves for days at a time. You don't know where he's gone or who he's with. And you realize, if you looked back, that you'd say to yourself, don't let him in. This is from Emma's review. Nick seems like the perfect man. He's charming, sweet, thoughtful, says all the right things, and buys you gifts. So what if things are going faster than you'd usually like? When it's right, it's right. Except when it's not. Because behind the charming veneer, Nick is a con man who exploits women for his own gain, and you are his next victim. The queen of the psychological thriller has done it again. Lisa Jewell is back with a nerve-shredding story that blew me away, the reviewer says. I was completely in her thrall and inhaled this book in under a day, desperate to untangle the twisted web she had woven. Psychologically rich, keenly observed, and cleverly choreographed, this book showcases Jewell as a master of her craft. Jewell has mentioned being a fan of true crime documentaries, and this book certainly has that vibe, which I loved. And that ending, OMG, I fell for it again. Another trick pulled out of the hat right when I was sure it was all over. Changing everything with a single line. Now, I understand why people have told her they threw the book across the room after finishing. It's sneaky, and I'm totally here for it. I'll happily keep falling for your tricks, Ms. Jewell. Well, the story is populated by a large cast of impeccably developed and dynamic characters who feel relatable, mostly likable, and had me invested in their lives. At the center of it all is Nick, the charming con man who will smile at your face and tell you pretty lies, all while he's actually thinking about the fact he loathes you. This toxic, cold, and calculating man has zero redeeming qualities and is one of the most odious and dangerous characters I've ever read. Every time you think he can't sink any lower, this guy goes down another five floors. Jewel perfectly balances the charm he would need to be successful at his con, while allowing the reader a glimpse inside his twisted mind. It's chilling, and I hated him with a passion. I felt deeply for the women caught up in his web and desperately wished I could save them. Heart-pounding, tense, sinister, twisty, and unsettling. Don't Let Him In is an addictive thriller that has me bowing at Ms. Jewel's throne, not to be missed. And remember, if something seems too good to be true, then it probably is. That sounds like a good one. It's called Don't Let Him In, very popular this past month at the State Library for the Blind. And it's called Don't Let Him In by Lisa Jewel. Our next book is Savage Justice by Ron Handberg. Here's the plot for this one. A TV anchorman in Minnesota risks his life to bring down a brutal pedophile in Handberg's riveting debut. Alex Collier, burdened by a painful divorce and professional problems, reluctantly pursues a tip from Pat Hodges, long-lost girlfriend now married to a judge, about another judge who may be ruining kids' lives. Soon, however, he learns that a reporter who was investigating Judge Emmett Steele has disappeared. Now thoroughly committed, Collier tries to find Daniel Grabowski's computer disks that may contain important information. He also struggles to contact some of the alleged victims, homeless boys working the street. News that Minnesota's governor has nominated the judge to the state Supreme Court increases Collier's sense of urgency, as does discovery of Grabowski's mutilated body in a remote part of Wisconsin, near land owned by Pat's husband. Pat and Collier are on the Hodges property when they see Steele drive up with boys and bodyguards. Shocking revelations set up a race to the climax and a final retribution that most readers will cheer as Handberg wraps up his gripping story without reverting to graphically offensive scenes. Once again, this book is called Savage Justice, and it's by a brand new writer, Ron Handberg. Now let's take a look at a book called Husband Missing. It's by Lisa Regan. Here's the plot for this one. Detective Josie Quinn's world shatters when she returns home to find her house ransacked and her husband Noah missing. When she kissed him goodbye hours earlier, called to the discovery of a woman's body at a protest, they were putting the finishing touches to a nursery for their first adopted child. But now the house is empty, Noah's bloodied handprints trailing the walls. Every fiber of Josie's being screams to investigate. But her team warns her to keep her distance as they follow a connection to a recent robbery in Denton. But Josie can't quiet the voice telling her the handprints Noah left are leading her somewhere, and the trail ends at an upturned box of her long-dead abusive mother's faded photos, jewelry, a lock of hair, and a few old newspaper clippings. Beside herself with worry for Noah, and unexpectedly confronted by the trauma of her past, Josie throws herself into work. The woman's body found during a demonstration outside a children's hospital belongs to Gina Fallon, daughter of the powerful and influential Fallon family. Trawling the CCTV is a welcome distraction, but everything changes the moment fingerprints from the knife that wounded Gina match to prints found in Josie's own home. Her head spinning as the two cases collide, Josie's only option is to delve into the life of the monster who terrorized her as a child. The key to everything is hidden in the box of her mother's mementos. But is Josie strong enough and fast enough to find it in time? And at what devastating cost to those she loves most? Once again, the book is a new one. It's called Husband Missing, and it's by Lisa Regan. Now here's a new novel. It's called The Patient, and it's by Terry Terry. Now, her first name is spelled T-E-R-I, and her last name T-E-R-R-Y. This novel is told through the perspectives of two protagonists. Safi is a young woman in her late 20s, living in London. Safi's life has not been easy. As a baby, she was adopted by a loving family, but her mother died when she was young, and her father recently died of COVID, the same COVID Safi inadvertently passed on to him. The same disease that damaged her own heart, already weakened by congenital heart defects. Safi's only chance of survival is a heart transplant. Fern is a young emergency room doctor, introverted and working long hours in a high-stress job. Fern suffers debilitating guilt for the younger sister she has just lost to a brutal murder. And heightening the guilt is the knowledge that the presumed murderer of her beautiful and glamorous sister, Flora, was a fellow doctor Fern introduced to her sister. Safi's life is saved by a heart transplant, but as she begins to heal, she has strange visions and feelings. When she learns the high-profile murder victim, Flora, is her heart donor, she becomes increasingly obsessed with the life of the glamorous young woman. Events come to a head when Safi meets Fern's family, and it becomes evident that someone is targeting Flora's organ recipients. I enjoyed this fast-paced tale and the dual perspective, says the reviewer. In the last chapters, there were a few too many twists and turns for my personal preference, but I still enjoyed this page-turning tale. Now here's a further description of this book. I feel the steady thump of my new heart beating inside me. The surgeon said everything went well, but I can't stop thinking about my donor, the girl who was killed. Her death saved my life, but now whoever took hers is coming for mine. I can't believe it when I learn my doctor's identity. The attack on Flora was all over the news. From my hospital bed, I read every article, obsess over every word, and soon I feel like I know her. The beautiful girl with flame-colored hair, adored by everyone around her. Why would anyone hurt someone so perfect? When Flora's family reached out to me, I'm unsure. My hands are shaking as I arrive at their grand mansion with its golden stone and sprawling gardens, but they're warm and welcoming, tears shining in her mother's eyes as she smiles at me. She even tells me to take anything I want from Flora's things, as she can't bear to go through them herself. I run my fingers over the racks of beautiful designer items, carefully choosing outfits in Flora's signature yellow, the bright color complementing the new flush in my cheeks. I think of the years I've wasted being ill and the crushing loneliness I thought would never end. I deserve this. But then there's a violent attack on another patient who received one of Flora's organs. My heart, Flora's heart, races dangerously fast. Is it a coincidence? Maybe I've made a mistake by stepping into Flora's life Has this second chance really saved me, or has it cost me everything? A totally gripping psychological thriller that will keep you turning the pages late into the night. If you love The Silent Patient, The Housemaid, and The Doctor's Wife, you will not want to miss this one. Once again, the book is called simply The Patient, and it's by Terry Terry. Now here's a new book called Mean and Evil, and it's by the very popular writing duo William W. Johnstone and J.A. Johnstone. Johnstone Country, where family comes first. Ex-lawman turned cattle rancher Ty Brannigan loves his wife and children. And may Lord have mercy on those who would harm them, because Ty Brannigan will show none. No one knows their way around a faro table, bank vault, or six-shooter more than Smiling Doc Ford. When he's not gambling or thieving, he's throwing lead, or if he's feeling especially vicious, slitting throats with his Arkansas toothpick. Roaming the West with Doc is a band of wild outlaws, including a pair of hate-filled ex-cons and the voluptuous Zenobia Z. Swallow, Doc's kill-crazy lady. The gang have been on a killing spree, leaving a trail of bodies near Ty Brannigan's Powderhorn Spread in Wyoming's Bear Paw Mountains. U.S. Marshals want Ty to help them track down Smiling Doc's bunch. But when the hunt puts the Brannigan clan in the outlaws' sights, Ty and his kin take justice into their own hands and deliver it with a furious final vengeance. A great Wild West story. This is called Mean and Evil, and it's by William W. Johnstone and J.A. Johnstone. Now, here's one that seems somewhat related, although it's not from the older days, I don't believe, but it's a book called Hey Cowgirl, Need a Ride? And it's by Baxter Black. Here's the plot for this one. 2 years after he won the average at the Las Vegas National Rodeo Finals by riding Kamikaze, the world's most unrideable bull, Lick is down on his luck. Working on a ranch in the remote Nevada desert with Al Bean, an ornery old cowboy. Then into their lives crashes Teddy Arizona, a.k.a. T.A., a woman of mystery who crawls out of the wreckage of her plane with a $500,000 secret. When T.A.'s husband, F. Rank Pantaker, dispatches his henchmen to retrieve the money and the girl, Lick and Al find themselves trying to outrun the bad guys and protect a damsel in distress. Is T.A. out to cheat her cheating husband, or is she really just trying to stop an illegal scheme cooked up by F. Rank and the infamous Ponce de Creon, Vegas's most glamorous tiger tamer? Is she playing Lick, or is it love? Will Al Bean's cockeyed schemes and able assist from Cody, Lick's cowboy sidekick, a brigade of old-time rodeo reunioners, and a few miles of duct tape be enough to stop F. Rank's nefarious plan, reform a career party girl, and change the hearts and minds of 10 of the world's most thrill-seeking billionaires? Can Cody keep Lick from climbing onto Raging Bull Kamikaze's back one more time? Can true love triumph over shootouts at the not-so-okay corral and close encounters with white tigers? Hey, this is Baxter Black. What do you think? Written with Baxter's rip-roaring humor and inventive language, this caper gallops to a thunderously satisfying conclusion. Fans who enjoyed Hey Cowboy Wanna Get Lucky will relish their reunion with Lick and Cody, while new readers will delight in this unforgettable cast of characters. And this one is called Hey Cowgirl, Need a Ride, and it's by Baxter Blank. Now here's a book called Unstable, and this one's by Alexandra Ivey. In the New York Times bestselling author's bone-chilling novel of a suspenseful story, a cold case expert and her sheriff ex-husband reunite to solve a decades-old murder when footage of a bound and gagged girl is discovered and a copycat killer begins threatening new victims. A dead man in a cemetery isn't news unless it's found on top of a grave with a bullet through his head. The body belongs to Jude Henley, who was supposed to be buried below. Instead, the grave contains the remains of Stacy Gale, thought to have run away nearly three decades ago. Then an old VCR tape arrives at the sheriff's station, showing Stacy before her death, bound and terrified, with a note claiming to be from the killer's apprentice. Rachel Fisher's job in Cold Case Files has brought her back to Pike, Wisconsin, where she'll be working alongside her ex-husband, Zach Evans. As Pike's interim sheriff, Zach expected a low-key assignment. Instead, he and Rachel are racing to solve serial murders from decades past, while a new monster goads them with a chilling promise. Every week there'll be another old tape and a fresh victim. In this small town, a killer walks, twisted, ruthless, determined to continue his master's work. And unless Rachel and Zach can find a way to get ahead of him, the nightmare will never end. This is a new book by Alexandra Ivey, and once again, it is called Unstable. Now a book that is relatively new and has been on the top 10 list at the library for the last couple of months, actually. It's called The Argument, and it's by Victoria Jenkins. It happens to every mother. One day, the daughter whose whole world you once were becomes someone you barely know, and you don't know the secrets she's hiding. One hot summer night, 15-year-old Olivia comes home late from a party she was strictly forbidden from going to, and she and her mother, Hannah, start arguing. Soon, Olivia speaks the words that every parent has heard from their teenage child. I hate you, you've ruined my life, and I'm never speaking to you again. Olivia has never been an easy child, a sharp contrast to her easygoing, happy-go-lucky little sister. But Hannah thinks Olivia's outburst is the end of a normal family argument. In fact, it's only the beginning of a nightmare. After one day of silence, Hannah thinks Olivia is taking a teenage sulk too far. After 2 days, she starts to feel anxious that something more serious could be going on. After a week, when her daughter still hasn't spoken, Hannah knows that Olivia is hiding a bigger darkness, something that could threaten to tear their precious family apart. The Argument is an unputdownable psychological thriller that asks how far we can push our families before they finally break. Perfect for fans of Gillian Flynn, The Woman in the Window, and The Silent Patient. Once again, this book is called The Argument by Victoria Jenkins. Now let's look at another very popular book in the last couple of months. It's called Nightshade by Michael Conley. This solid inaugural entry in the new series features a Bosch-worthy private investigator. Michael Connelly may well be the most successful and popular crime fiction writer working today. Nightshade is his 47th novel. The preceding 46 were all bestsellers. There's no reason to think this one won't follow suit. With Nightshade, Connelly is launching a new series, this one starring L.A. County Detective Sergeant Stillwell. In addition to the Bosch novels, Connelly has two other hugely popular series, Mickey Haller, the Lincoln lawyer, of course, so-called because he handles his cases from the back seat of a Lincoln sedan, and L.A. Detective Renee Ballard, head of the department's cold case unit. He also has two minor but excellent series, one featuring reporter Jack McAvoy and the other anchored by FBI agent Terry McAuliffe. All of them are set in the same fictional Bosch universe, and the characters frequently appear in each other's stories. Sergeant Stillwell is no exception. He also exists in the Bosch universe, as Connelly adds a throwaway line in Nightshade about an event that occurred in a recent Ballard Bosch novel. Perhaps Still and Bosch will cross paths in the future. If so, there are sure to be sparks over their differing, though similarly unyielding, approaches to investigations. At the opening of Nightshade, Still has been assigned to the sheriff's office on Catalina, a resort island about 25 miles off the coast of Los Angeles that serves as a sort of slough house for misfit deputies. 6 months earlier, Still got into an unruly altercation with a fellow detective over the resolution to a homicide case they were working on. It's what earned him this ticket to Catalina. Now, while still bitter over his exile, Still has become reconciled to it and is comfortable with his new assignment, helping, not incidentally, by his relationship with Assistant Harbor Master Natasha Dano. But his idol is shattered one fine morning when the body of a young woman, wrapped in a sail bag and weighted down by an anchor, is discovered in Avalon Bay. The corpse has dark hair with a dyed purple streak, the color of nightshade, the beautiful but poisonous flower that grows on the island. Still is a complex and troubled individual whose obsession with unearthing the truth results in mistakes, some tragic. Once again, it's called Nightshade by the popular author Michael Connelly. And that's all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately. I'm George Douglas. I hope you've enjoyed the program. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, simply Google or search for Accessible Books or call toll-free 888-388-2460. This program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast, and our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long, until next time. ¶¶